CQ, 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 the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. Your net control tonight is W4DJW. My name is Dave, and my location is Greer. In the interest and promotion of amateur radio, this net is called nightly at 9 p.m. In the event of an emergency, this net will be activated. This repeater is located atop Caesars Head Mountain, about 2 miles south of the North Carolina-South Carolina border, near Highway 276. The repeater is at an elevation of 3,500 feet and is owned and operated by the Blue Ridge Amateur Radio Society. All amateurs licensed to operate on the frequency are invited to check in. Is there any formal traffic bulletins or announcements for the net? Please call W4DJW. Okay, nothing heard. We'll now begin the roll call. This is a directed net. All stations with or without traffic are invited to check in. As you check in, give your call, name, location, and signal your intent to remain on the net for the RAG2 portion. And tonight being Thursday night, we'll begin with Quebec through Tango. But before we do that, we're going to recognize the pre-net check-ins, the EchoLink stations, and any brand new amateur radio operators. So starting off with the pre-net check-ins, we have K4XMR, that's Mel in Prosperity. W4FCM, that's Fred, bring with him in for IEI, that's Miss Isla, there in Traveler's Rest. KQ4NHB, that's Danny in Greenville. KG4PFI, Don, and KG4QLQ, Linda, they're in Piedmont. KI4LZI, that's Andy in Table Rock. KO4ZEW, that's Ben in Simpsonville. W2AMD, that's Andrew in Simpsonville. N4JRB, that's Jim in Greer. AA4GH, that's Gus in Punta Gorda, Florida. N4ASW, that's Tony in Asheville. Bring with him KQ4JSK, that's Miss Kim. KI4LJG, that's Bob in River Falls. KC4W, that's Bill in Anderson. KD4IOX, that's Leon in Hendersonville. Bring with him KE4DXJ, that's Miss Wendy. KM4RJN, that's John in Brown Summit. KO4YHY, that's Jim in Berea. KQ4KFK, that's Gavin in Taylors. W4IOE, that's Sid in Fletcher, North Carolina. And WG4MC, that's Matt. He's the one that normally calls this net. He's being relayed in via telephone relay. And that is all the pre-net check-ins that we have. No, we have two more that signed up while I was recognizing them. We have K4OIM, that's Walt in Inman, and KG4WNP, that's Landon in Easley. So we appreciate everybody using the pre-net check-in capability. That is what it's there for. At the moment, we don't have any EchoLink stations, so we're going to skip straight to the brand new amateur radio operators who have never checked into a net before and are not quite sure of the protocol, but would like to check into the net. Just throw your call sign out there and I'll do the rest. Okay, it doesn't sound like we have any brand new amateur radio operators this evening, but we'll continue to check. And tonight being Thursday night, we're going to begin the RF section of the Blue Ridge 2-meter net with Quebec through Tango. Station with the first letter in their suffix that begins with a Q through a T when I check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, called W4DJW.
4DJW. Good evening, Dave. Please check in N0TR, November 0, Tango Romeo. My name's Tom. I'm located in Greer. Good evening to you and all on the net. I'll be negative and negative, sir.
Oscar 4, Romeo, Uniform Romeo. KO4, RUR, Chris, here in downtown Greenville. I'll be in and out tonight,
7381 on the net. Okay, net control, I'd like to recognize N0TR, that's my neighbor Tom over here in Greer, just a hop, skip, and a jump away from where I live. Dimas Bernice, we said hello, Tom, appreciate you taking the time to check in. KO4RUR, that's Chris in downtown Greenville. Sounding good from downtown Greenville tonight, Chris, appreciate you taking the time to check in. Any other stations in the Quebec through Tango group that would like to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, call W4DJW.
DJW, on Kilo Kilo 4, Tango, Romeo, Juliet. KK4TRJ, Blue and Cowpens, negative and negative.
Okay, net control, I'd like to recognize KK4TRJ. That's Bill making it into the repeater just fine from Cowpens, South Carolina. Good to have you with tonight, Bill. Appreciate you taking the time to check in this evening. One last call, Quebec through Tango. If you'd like to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, call W4DJW.
JW, please check in KQ4QHV. My name is Nick, and I'm in Pendleton. That'll be negative and negative.
Okay, Nick Control, I'd like to recognize KQ4QHV. That's Nick in Pendleton. Good to have you with us tonight, Nick. We do appreciate you taking time to check in this evening. Go ahead now and move it to the Uniform Through Zulu group. Station with the first letter in their suffix that begins with a U through a Z. You would like to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. Call W4DJW.
W4DJW. KA3WPP, Kilo Alpha 3, Whiskey Papa Papa, Howard Piedmont, be negative and negative.
Okay, Howard might have this group to himself. Net Control, I'd like to recognize KA3WPP. That is Howard in Piedmont. Sounded really good into the repeater this evening. Good to have you with us tonight, Howard. One last call, Uniform Through Zulu. If you'd like to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, call W4DJW. Okay, Tommy in Southern Greenville County must be on another net. We'll probably pick him up in second shift. That'll bump us up to the Alpha through Delta group. Stations with the first letter in their suffix that begins with an A through a D. When I check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, call W4DJW.
W4DJW. Name, please check in. Kilo, Kilo 4, Delta Mike Whiskey, Rick, and my wife. Kilo, Kilo 4, Oscar, November Oscar, Lorena, and my daughter, Kilo Mike 4, Mike Oscar, Quebec, Michelle, we're all in Piedmont, and we'll all be negative and negative.
DJW, everybody on the net, please check in. Kilo, Bravo 2, Bravo Yankee, Quebec, KB2, BYQ. Dave and Easley, I'll be negative and negative. 73 is to you and everybody on the net.
W. Hey, Miss Amy in the net, please check in. KI4DOS, Gary. Also K3JOY, that's my pretty little by joy. We're at home in Easley, no traffic, no shoe tonight. Good evening to you, Miss Amy, all on the net. And I would like an informal with KQ4QHV, Mr. Nick, at your convenience. Over.
Okay, Net Control, I'd like to recognize KK4DMW, that's Rick, bring with him KK4ONO, that's Miss Lorena, and KM4MOQ, that's Miss Michelle, and they are all in Piedmont. Sounding good tonight, Rick. Tell Miss Lorena, Miss Michelle, we said hello. And KB2BYQ, that's Dave over in Easley. Good to have you with us tonight, Dave. You're sounding good, as usual. Appreciate you being there. And our Wednesday night Net Control operator and all things SwapNet, KI4DOS Gary, bring with him K3JOY, that's Miss Joy, there in Easley. Gary, tell Miss Joy we said hello and go ahead and call your station.
Good day. KQ4QHV, KI4DOS.
Gary, this is Nick at KQ4QHV. Go ahead.
I talked with Don, KQ4PFI, this afternoon. He said that he found the book that goes with that radio. If you would give him a call, he will get some information and mail it to you or whatnot. But he wanted me to see if I could catch you and get that information to you. Over. Nick, you still there? There, Dave, but I'll turn it back over to you. If he comes back in there, we'll get back together if that's all right with you. W4DJW.net, KI4DOS.
Okay, Gary, he may have bumped his VFO or something like that. It happens. It's happened to all of us. So we'll listen up for him. If he comes back in there, we'll get you guys back together. Appreciate that, Gary. Any other stations in the Alpha through Delta group that would like to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, call W4DJW.
Well, this is KQ4QHV. I have reestablished connection.
Now, all right, Nick. Gary, go ahead, call your station.
KQ4QHV, KI4DOS. Nick, did you get what I was saying?
And give Don a call and maybe head out there and pick that manual up. I was actually using that radio just a minute ago and it cut out on me. I was thinking maybe I had found the culprit.
Well, like I say, he found the manual on it and all of that, and he said if I could get in touch with you to get you to give him a call and y'all would get together on the manual. But thanks for coming back to me, and I'll let you turn it back to Dave. KQ4QHV, KI4DOS.
Okay, glad we could help to reestablish communication there. And that's one of the reasons we're here in the evening. So that's a good example of if you need to get in touch with somebody, this is the time of the evening to do that because that's when they're most likely to be on the net. Appreciate it, Gary and Nick, and hope you guys get that radio squared away. Do we have any other stations in the Alpha through Delta group that would like to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net? Call W4DJW. Okay, we'll move it on up to the Echo through Hotel group, station with the first letter in their suffix that begins with an E through an H, and would like to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net? Call W4DJW.
On the net, please check in Kilo Oscar 4, Hotel Kilo X-ray, KO4HKX. That's Patrick. I'm up here in Penrose. I have no comment, no traffic tonight, Dave. Thanks for calling the net, sir.
4 Echo Delta Whiskey, Ed in Brevard. No traffic, no comments. I'm monitoring. Well, wait, I will make one comment. I would like to make a comment over.
Okay, Net Control, I'd like to recognize our Sunday night Net Control operator. That is KO4HKX. That is Patrick. He's in Penrose, North Carolina. Good to have you with us tonight, Patrick. Hope your week is going well. Appreciate you taking the time to check in this evening. And N4EDW, that is Ed. He is in Brevard, North Carolina, with a comment. Ed, do you want to go with your comment now, or do you want to hang around to the rag chute portion of the net?
Now's relatively short. This weekend, there will be the Assault on the Carolinas, which is a pedal bicycle ride starting in Brevard and going down into South Carolina towards Pumpkintown and then coming back up on that long haul up here. It's a ride, not a race. There will be somewhere around 800 to 900 riders. I think about half of them will be going down that way. The other half are on a 50K. So I'd like anybody who's interested in that, if you look on the web for Assault on the Carolinas, also be aware that there will be a lot of bicycle traffic around the Brevard area and on that main highway. So watch out for all those highways there with the bicycle riders. And then the other comment, recently I opened my, or went out to the car and a bird flew off from it. And it turned out that she had built a nest underneath the hood because there was room for her to get in. So check out your cars and put something across the hood opening to the windshield because there may be a bird nest in there. I'm back to you. Over.
Okay, Ed. Well, we do appreciate that announcement, and I know there's a lot of people interested in stuff like that. We're going to give opportunity for anybody that needs any fills on Ed's announcements. Go ahead and call W4DJW if you have any fields that you missed and you need to get them restated. Okay, Ed, I think everybody got that. We do appreciate you giving us the heads up on that and on the bird's nest. I know when I was taking flying lessons and we were walking around the airplane before we took off, we pulled out the stoppers that went in the engine compartment, and the guy that was teaching me said, and this is where you check for bird nests every single time. Before you fly, you check for bird nests. That is a real problem because they will prevent airflow, too, and you don't want birds moving in there either. You want them to raise their babies somewhere safer. So we appreciate that, Ed. Hope you're having a fantastic week. Do we have any other stations in the Echo Through Hotel group that would like to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net? Call W4DJW. Okay, that's going to bump us up to the India through Lima group, stationed with the first letter in their suffix that begins with an I through an L. When I check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, call that before DJW.
DJW. The Kilo 4, Juliet, Foxtrot, Oscar, and I am James. I'm on this mountain in Tuxedo, North Carolina, and it's where I'll be negative and negative, saying 73s for each one of you.
Kilo 4, DJW. Please check in Kilo, Kilo 4, Juliet, Bravo, Quebec. This is Larry. Also, my wife Donna, Kilo, Charlie, 4, Mike, Foxtrot, Kilo. We make our home in Greer. We have no traffic, no comments. Hope everyone has a good night. 73.
For DJW. Please check in Kilo Echo 6, Kilo Echo November. This is Ken in Greenville. I'll be negative and negative, and thanks for passing the message earlier today.
OK, Okay, Net Control, I'd like to recognize KK4JFO. That's James from Tuxedo, North Carolina. Sounded good as usual, James. Hey, you got direct connection to the repeater from your house. It sounds like you're always in good shape. KK4JBQ, that's Larry bringing with him. KC4MFK, that's Miss Donna. They make their home in Greer. Sounding good as well tonight, Larry. Appreciate you taking the time to check in with us and tell Miss Donna we said hello. And KE6KEN, that's Ken in Greenville. Good to have you tonight, Ken. My pleasure. I know they're going to be happy because the more the better. The more help they get for the radio rally, the better. It's going to take a lot of hands to get that thing, pull that off correctly. So appreciate you throwing your name in the hat there. Any other stations in the India through Lima group that would like to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, call W4DJW. Okay, that's going to move us on up to the Mike through Papa group, the patient group for Thursday night. Stations with the first letter in their suffix. It begins with an M through a P when I check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, call W4DJW.
Check in, Kilo X-ray 4, Mike Tango, KX4MT. This is Mike and Pickens. I'll be negative and negative. I do have a quick question about ham radio testing when appropriate, though.
If you would, please check in WT3M. That's Whiskey Tango 3 Mike. The name is David. I'm in Shoals Junction, and I'll be negative and negative.
And Kilo Oscar 4 November Uniform Echo KO4NUE. Name is Chad. Location is Campobello. Please also check in my wife, Kilo Oscar 4 Romeo Yankee Papa. That's Anna here in Campobello with me. We're in and out tonight, Dave. Thank you for calling the net.
Please check in N4NLR. November 4, nothing like radio. Name here is Jim, Julie, the Indian Mike. Location, Greenville, South Carolina. Please check me in and out, Dave. Have a good evening.
Okay, that is a good group. Net Control, I'd like to recognize KX4MT, that's Mike and Pickens. Good to have you tonight, Mike, and I will get back to you in just a little bit for your question. And WT3M, that's David. He is in Shoals Junction. Good to have you tonight, David. Hope you're doing well. And KO4NUE, Chad, bring with him. KO4RYP, that's Miss Anna. They're in Campobello. Good to have you tonight, Chad. Tell Miss Anna we said hello. Been a long time. Good to hear you on the radio. And N4NLR, that's Jim in Greenville, South Carolina. Good to have you with us tonight, Jim. Appreciate you taking the time to check in with us this evening. And Mike, go ahead with your question.
Thank you for that. My son, KQ4OJX, will be looking to upgrade his license here this month. I was on the website here, and it looks like you all do testing every third Saturday. I just wanted to confirm that it would be this coming up April 20th.
That is correct, and it can be misleading. It's not our club that does it. There's another group that does VE testing, and we advertise them, right? Because one of our net control operators is one of the VEs that's there that's going to help. That's our Wednesday night net control operator, Gary. So if you ever have any questions about the VE testing that is advertised on our website, then Gary, he can be the one that helps you with any answers to that question. And they are going to have we will be having a radio rally coming up in the near term in a couple of weeks. So that's one to keep in mind as well, because they will be doing VE testing there as well. So if you look up the radio rally, you'll see that testing for that will begin at 11 o'clock, and then the third Saturday of the month, that testing will happen on schedule like it does every month. I hope that answers the question.
That. Like I said, I just wanted to verify. I saw it on the website. I just wanted to make sure we didn't show up at 9 o'clock on the 20th and it had been canceled or moved. But thank you so much for that. KX4MT, back to that. Thank you.
Okay, Mike. Well, good luck to your son to do that upgrade and hope he does really good on that. I know it's a challenging test, but it is rewarding at the same time when you pass it. Do we have any other stations in the Mike through Papa group that would like to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, call W4DJW. Okay, let's open it up now all the way through the alphabet, A through Z, Z through A. If you've got a letter in your call at all and you'd like to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, call W4DJW.
W4DJW. Check in Kilo, Quebec, 4, Papa, Yankee, Delta, that's KQ4PYD. This is David and Greer.
W4DJW. This is my group again, Dave. Please check in Kilo Oscar 4, Quebec, Lima, Golf, KO4QLG. This is Chris. I'm in Liberty, and I'll be naming and naming.
I was wondering where you were, Chris. Net Control, I'd like to recognize KQ4PYD. That's David and Greer. David, you're sounding 100% into the repeater tonight. Appreciate you taking the time to check in with us. And KO4QLG, that's Chris. He's normally in the Quebec to Tango group. So a little bit late, but late is better than never, Chris, from Liberty. Appreciate you being with us tonight. Hope you're doing well, Chris. Any other stations all the way through the alphabet that would like to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, call W4DJW. Okay, that looks like that's going to do it for first shift. We're one away from 50. Would really like to hit that 50 spot. This is W4DJW now securing the formal portion of the net with our thanks for checking in. All stations wishing to secure may do so. We don't have any rag chewers at the moment, so we're going to make one more call for all the way through the alphabet or anybody who wants to hang around for rag chew. Call W4DJW.
KO4NUE.
Go ahead, Chad.
And via relay, KQ4OUX, KQ4OUX, that's Mr. Vance in Columbus.
Okay, Net Control, I'd like to recognize via relay, KQ4OUX, Vince in Columbus, North Carolina. Is he hearing us and we're just not hearing him, or are you just on the phone with him or something? No, I was just curious because I know sometimes we can hear Columbus and sometimes we can't.
Get on the phone.
Okay, well, tell Vince we said hello and appreciate him checking into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net this evening. He makes number 50. He's got to come to Gary's net on Wednesday night and claim his door prize. Any other stations all the way through the alphabet that would like to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, call W4DJW. Okay, be sure and come back by tomorrow night where KC4SKD Larry will be calling the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. I know he'd appreciate you stopping in and checking in with him, and I know you'll enjoy his net as well. He does every other Friday night. Please stand by for my net report. This is W4DJW now securing the Blue Ridge 2-meter net with our thanks for checking in. We'll now return the repeater back to normal amateur use. 73 and good night.
4JBQ, 4LZI.
4LZI, KK4JBQ here.
You check in on Skywarn net tonight over on 47, but did you hear about Robert Webster's retirement?
Robert informed me of that several days ago. I'm awfully happy for him. He took the big step.
If you knew about it, I know it. It was announced over there, and that's the first I knew about it. You didn't know I was going to let you know that Dave just a while ago was talking about was that I was telling you about it's going to be up to the equestrian part.
I'm aware of that. I kind of looked it up on Google Maps to figure out where it was. I think it's west, northwest of me. Don't know if I'll be able to make that, but at least I got an idea of where it's going to be held.
In the past, Hamfests have been held there, too. For the club, when there's been Hamfests, either they've been there at the equestrian park, and they've been up there at W4FHJ's place, too. But they've been there at the equestrian park at times as well, so I know exactly where it's at. Just not far from there. Prior to 1974, my parents lived over there in what used to be the Renfrew Mill Village over there.
I didn't know that there was, that was over that way. It looks like an interesting area, quite built up as far as the map is concerned. Of course, I'm only looking down on, you know, from wherever the satellite took the picture. But there's some, so it's an equestrian park. What can you tell me about an equestrian park? I'm not sure I know about that.
For LZI for ID. The only thing I can tell you is what I've seen over there. It's a big place over there, and they have horses over there, and a lot of kids over there, and they, judging from the way it's happened before when the ham fests have been there, now they're going to have the regular rallies there. They ran out certain sheds and areas. I'm just going from what one has been a field day event over there where you can take and set up under a shed, do your field day event in a radio under a shed, or they got little things that I don't know how to describe them, individual booths too down there that you could do the same thing with. You have at least something over your head, so if it comes up, say like when the ham fest, not ham fest, I'm getting things goofed up, but the field day come up, like when they've had field days up there in the past, your equipment and you will be at least out of the rain.
That's exactly what I wanted to know. Yeah, so, anyhow, I'm on another matter. I'm wondering how your radio is holding up and whether you found another power supply.
I got another power supply, but seeing that I goofed up to 8900R too, though, I've got the power supply issue now taken care of, but I hadn't got my fixed station radio issue taken care of. I've been told that even though they don't build that 8900 anymore, that radio used with no more than what's wrong with it would run about $600. So I'm kind of tempted to get it repaired, but the problem about it is it won't be right away in this one that I'm currently using here. This repeater here is about the only thing I can use it on with this memory battery inside of it being dead, because many I power it down, it loses all memory, and its default setting seems to always be at 140 megahertz, so I have to go. I can't put any tones in it because it won't keep the tones in it. Next time I power it up, it won't even remember the frequency. It just remembers 140 megahertz.
Well, about the radio with the memory issue, there's usually a small battery inside devices that require a memory. The little battery powers the circuit that when you turn the whole unit off, if the battery isn't there or if it's dead, then that's when you lose your memories. The battery, sometimes it's a pain to replace because it has leads soldered to positive and minus sides of the battery. A little coin cell, you know, the size of anything from a dime to a quarter. Usually it's a lithium battery. They're not very expensive, you know, a dollar and a half will get you one. But you got to open the radio and you got to find out where it is. If it's in a battery holder, then you just pop it out, pop the new one in. If it has leads soldered to it, that's a little different. Have you had the radio open and know what I'm talking about?
Well, see, I personally myself haven't, but I know the general situation about that because you're realistic. Late 90s realistic HTs were something similar like that. And other than that, that's all that's wrong with this 2400 H. It's just that it was built in 1993. It requires a memory battery, and as long as this memory battery ain't dead, it don't do. You can't program frequencies, tones, or anything in it. When you power it down, it always defaults back to 140 megahertz, and then I have to manually bring it back up from 140 to up here to where I'm at now in 2 meters, and being that it won't remember any tones either, I just don't fool with any, and that's most repeaters today with the tones, but being that this in here doesn't have that, it's not as much of an issue, but that's what I'm using right now for a backup until I can get that something done with that 8900R. And I'm not sure exactly when that'll be, so.
Well, if you're handy with a screwdriver and comfortable opening up the radio, a $2 battery is, it's worth a shot. As far as the 8900 goes, what do you imagine's wrong with that?
From others, it's more electronically not when I am about it. It's probably a diode in it that I burned up when I had it cross-hooked up backwards. I burned a diode up in it. But it's considerably smaller than this 1993 FT2400. Extreme surface-mounted stuff. And it takes good steady hands and good eyesight to fix that. I was told about someone down in Georgia that would do such as that, but being that that's a Yaesu, and I thought they were just icon dealers. That, you know, they just worked on ironing on that some and see if I can get that ironed out. But somehow or another, I got to get that 8900, that diode replaced in it, and get it back up here because this one here, I don't know how easier if this one here is actually, if it's wired two wires to the battery. I ain't seen it in that kind of detail. I just know it's here. But what it's inside of a battery holder or not, I don't know. But if it's the kind where the wires hook straight to the battery, in my situation with the way I am, but just being shaky as I am, I don't know that I could fix that easily myself.
It is a little tricky. I have done it successfully several times. It requires a real soft touch with a soldering iron. Just in case you have any reason to want to know, you clean the battery terminals. Alcohol will do. You put a nice flux. I mean, I know there's flux inside solder, but I don't trust that. I use an actual liquid flux. With heat, that chemically cleans the contact. You want to limit your time of heat to the battery, especially if it's a lithium battery. But anyway, you get that the heat dialed in. If your soldering irons will dial heat, you can set the heat range on it and go in there and just have everything just right. Tin it, that is, put a little dab of solder in that place, get that iron out of there as quick as you can, and then you tin the wire, and then you bring the two together with heat. It is the best, most successful way I've been able to do that. And I've done it, you know, half a dozen times and had no problem. Unfortunate, but a battery holder, which would eliminate that problem, might cost 30 cents. And so they cut 30 cents out of the production cost of the radio. It is usually easy to find where the battery is, and it's very recognizable. You know, it looks like a coin in there. First thing you want to make note of is the polarity. Sometimes the wires are colored, you know, black and red, but sometimes they're not. And you want to label those wires before you disassemble it so you can get it back, so you don't have a reverse polarity problem. That is the problem you've got with your 8900. If you suspect that it's a diode, that is the first thing that electricity sees when it goes into your radio. And if it's going in the right way, the right polarity, it just keeps going. But that diode is, it clamps down and it's destroyed. It's self-sacrificial, in other words. You destroy that diode when you reverse polarity the thing, but it's not down, usually it's not difficult to reach. It's the first thing after the plug that goes into the radio. It's one of the first things. It's right there. I can't imagine that it would be $600 to replace the reverse polarity diode. If that is the issue, sounds like it's a classic case of hooking it up backwards and blowing out the diode. I agree with whoever told you that. But it shouldn't cost that much money. It really shouldn't. You take the covers off the radio, find that thing, replace the diode, and, you know, you're done. The cost should be minimal. It should cost you more to ship it if that's what you intend to do. But it's too bad that there aren't folks that let it be known that they work on things closer by. There used to be, and you would know better than me, I think there used to be hams in the area that would take on small tasks like that. That is not very complicated. If nothing more is wrong with your radio, that little diode is, you know, it's a 30-cent part, and less than a half an hour, even if you're not familiar with the radio, it's less than a half an hour to replace it. I'm not that person, but, well, I know you miss your radio, and I'm sorry you're without it. Otherwise, how are things going?
Well, when he was telling me it's worth $600, he was telling me that it's that popular of a radio and was no more than that wrong with it. It could very well bring that kind of money. That's the impression I got about that. They hadn't built it in about, what, probably 4 or 5 years, but I've heard others here on this repeater in the past looking for $8,900. So there is a demand out there for him. And that's what he was telling me was no more than wrong with it, that it's worth every bit $600. The $8,900 is this one here that I'm on now, currently right there with the memory battery dead in it. W4FCN Fred give it to me. WR4XM repaired it. I've got KJ4GJT guy Jenkins. He used it for 2 or 3 years till he got one of his own. Then I got it back from him and run it in my Pinto for a few years, but the Pinto needs to be totally redone, so I had it stashed back here for a spare, but since that time, the memory battery's gone dead in here, and I just explained to you about the situation about using it. When I power this thing down later and I power it back up again tomorrow, the display will read 140.000 megahertz. Why it defaults at that position, I'm not sure. You know, most all these new arrays are designed to also receive other frequencies too, but that's where its default position is. Then I have to go through the button or turn until I get it back down here into the ham band, but when it's fired down, it remembers nothing without that memory battery being good, and it always defaults back to that 140 megahertz.
KK4JBQ, I can explain why there is a memory battery in there. But first of all, I'd like to say that I misunderstood what you were saying about $600. I thought that was a wild guess at how much it would cost to replace the diode. Well, that is pretty wild. I didn't realize you meant that was the value of the entire radio. So, now, thank you for getting me straight on that. Replacing that reverse polarity diode, it protects against reversing the polarity on the battery supply. That shouldn't be difficult, and it shouldn't cost a lot or take a lot of time. But you should deal with somebody who's confident that they can do that without, you know, more damage being done. Anytime you take the covers off of an electronic device, you just got to be careful and notice everything inside. With that being said, the memory battery, there's two kinds of memory within any device that has memory, and that's a lot of things today. Let's just take two. One of them is your radio. A computer has memory also. Back in the, oh goodness, all the way up until probably the mid-90s, the memory that was used in computers was volatile memory. In other words, you shut it off, the memory goes away. And so those computers have very similar batteries in them to give just a little bit of current. That's all that memory needs to stay alive and remember from when you turn it off to when you turn it on again. So the radio must have been produced around that time too. Currently, devices that need memory have non-volatile memory. You turn the power off and it'll still remember what's in its core without a battery. Now that's a big deal. And that came about in, oh, I'd say commonly in the late 90s. So anyway, memory batteries are a pain. I've got several desktop computers that are, I suppose they would function fine if I needed them. They're Windows machines and they're old, unsupported operating system by this time. You know, I don't use them that much. Haven't turned, and there's one I can know that I haven't turned on in probably 8 or 9 years. That has a memory battery in it. If I wanted to put that into service again, I'd have to replace that memory battery. In a computer as large as it is, this is a desktop tower type computer, you know, it's large. So there's plenty of room in there to put the little battery holder and the little battery. So it's a quick change out, no problem really. And but in small devices like your handheld radio,
They probably did want to make the radio just a teeny tiny bit thicker or wider or whatever dimension was involved in order to put a battery holder to make it easy to change out. Or maybe there is one in there that in a battery holder, and it's just, you know, you can wedge one out with the blade of a screwdriver, a small one, you know, torque it a little bit, and it'll pop right out, then pop another one back in, and you're ready to go. But you got to take the cover off, and like I said before, you got to be cautious anytime you take the cover off of anything. There's another world inside of every device that we commonly use. You gain a new respect every time you open up something about how complicated it is. Our interaction with it is with buttons and displays and stuff like that, but they're very complicated inside. Anyhow, it doesn't sound like you're in too much trouble there. I hope you find somebody that can open up your 8900. That is a very nice radio, and I hope you get it back in service for JBQ.
Well, see, my electronic knowledge compared to limited, but raising the 8900, 1802M transceivers like that don't require memory batteries now. From the general understanding I got, what I was told is that the capacitors, they get the minute amount of power they need for the capacitors, and that holds the memory in them from getting power out of the capacitors. But this 2400 I'm using now, like I say, that dates back to 1993, while memory batteries are still used. And to be honest, I hope inside this 2400, it's, like I said, I ain't had it off, I don't know. But I hope that battery is in a battery container. Older scanners were like that. I had plenty of older scanners when I first got scanned, but they were rather easy to change. They had a little hole-like thing mounted in the cabinet of the receiver, and usually they used a 9-volt battery to hold that memory that was in those scanners. Now, the last two or three that I got over the years, apparently they used the same method about the capacitor issue, because they don't require any external power source to take and keep the memory in them.
Well, even radios, I'm looking across the room here, and on one of the tabletops, there's a AM/FM radio, and I recall, because I had to go shopping for a battery for that one, a memory battery, and it's intended to be used by your bedside as an alarm clock also. Now, that one feature made it necessary for the time, especially on this radio, to be accurate and reliable. It's going to wake you up every morning. So in that event, they put a memory battery in there. When you turn it off, it uses that. If you have a power failure, that's what that battery's for. If you have a power failure, it plugs in, you know, with a line cord. So, but if your power goes out, you still want to get up at the right time in the morning, especially if you're still somebody that's working for a living. So there's this big old coin battery. I think it's a 3250 lithium coin cell. And son of a gun, that's bigger than most that I've handled. easily available. I got two of them for like $2.50. They're not terribly expensive today. And it did have a hatch on the bottom of the radio that you just remove the hatch and replace the battery. Bingo, bango, you're done. But that's another use for memory batteries. In clock radios, you'll often find that for it takes over powering the radio, or at least the alarm, if it has an electronic alarm like this one does. It'll power the alarm and keep it on time, even if overnight you've had a power failure. Kind of thoughtful, I thought. But that's another case where you still might find a memory battery in an electronic device. An alarm clock radio is one time. Well, Andy, my grip and hand is getting tired again. I have gripped this microphone. It's hard to grip. It takes a lot of pressure. I'd change hands, but then I'd be crossing the little shorty cord that's about to break on me. I have one of these little twisty cords, you know. It's like telephones used to be, corded telephones, you know. They had this little twisty cord. Well, this thing just, the covering on the outside, it has, I think, three wires, at least, maybe more, wires inside. I think there's more than that. I think there's eight in groups of two, so that'd be four wires that you could discern in the twisty cord. And the outside sheath it started to shatter into pieces like glass. And I cannot, pretty critical, the cord on your microphone. You know, if you're going to do sideband or 2 meters like this, you kind of rely on the microphone. Well, this thing, I can't understand why. It didn't see a lot of sun ever. I had it installed in the car, but I had the microphone stowed away underneath the dash. Now, the car gets kind of hot. You know, I park it outside, and it gets kind of hot, so maybe that deteriorated the... But it's only in this one spot. It's just, you know, it's not right where it goes into the microphone. It's right where it starts to curl. Coming out of the mic, it's right where it starts to curl. And it's just shattered in, you know, five or six places. I've yet to fix it. We talked about this before, and I'll admit I have not been eager to fix it. But anyhow, it's good to talk with you, Andy, and I hope, especially the 8900, I hope you can get that back in shape real soon. I'm going to run some cold water over my worn-out hand. You have yourself a good night. It's good to talk with you. This is KK4 at JBQ. I'll be clear.
KK4LZI. Like I said, this 2400H that I got from Fred W4FCM, I don't know anything about its past prior to me getting it from him, but the mic cord on this 2400H, if this is the original mic cord on it, being that it dates back to 1993, it's in super good condition, it is. Super good condition. The 8900, I've had three mics on it, and the current mic that's on it right now is in pretty shabby shape. I described it to you some months ago. I've been through three mics from 8900, and this one here, if I
have to say prior to Fred having it, I don't know its history, but this mic, it's on it now, mic cord, to be as old as it is on this, and here's in super good condition. It's just memory batteries dead in it nowadays, so. There's times I wish all these radios could be interchangeable, not that they all are, but I wish that they was. KK4JBQ, KI4LZI.